Darfur, Sudan has seen an upsurge in violence in recent weeks. Peace talks are at a stalemate. U.S. officials travel there often to try to keep the talks on track, and they continue to give logistical support to African Union troops in Darfur. But 2 years after Washington officially declared that genocide was occurring there, U.S. diplomatic efforts have made little progress. Activists say it is time now for new thinking. NPR's Michelle Kellerman reports.
Smith College English professor Eric Reeves has gained a following for his activism on Sudan. He has his own website on the subject and, despite his personal battle with leukemia, travels to colleges and universities with a clear message.
My message is always the same. It is your task to bear witness and to force the question, what does it take to protect civilians? And what does it take to protect the humanitarian lifeline on which more than 3 million civilians are now dependent?
A senior United Nations official recently warned that if the violence continues to escalate, aid groups and the UN may have to withdraw. Jan Egelin said that humanitarian workers have been harassed, robbed, and attacked by all sides. His comments came before last week's deadly raid on a camp for displaced people, the first of its kind in Darfur. Eric Reeves says civilians have nothing without outside aid.
If we see a wholesale withdrawal of humanitarian personnel, these people will be utterly bereft. Over the course of the conflict, they've lost all their food stocks, their livestock. They will have nothing, and they will be facing immediate famine.
He criticizes the U.S. for, in his words, leaving security in the hands of African Union troops.
We'll provide logistical aid, but we do not want our boots or NATO boots on the ground in Darfur. If the African Union is not up to this mission, we'll nonetheless say they are. There's really that deep a disingenuousness in the Bush administration.
The State Department Special Envoy on Sudan, Roger Winter, did express some concern about the size of the African Union force, which is still smaller than the 7,000 troops that had been promised.
7,000 people is not all that might be necessary to actually encompass the security imagery that people need in Darfur.
Winter says the U.S. had hoped Darfurians would begin returning to their villages early next year, but that's unlikely with the current level of violence. But another top Sudan specialist at the State Department, Michael Ranenberger, credits the AU forces with helping end the large-scale attacks of the past, when local militias backed by government planes and helicopters razed villages in Darfur.
Even now, what you're seeing is not these systematic gingerweed attacks against villages. You know, somebody said it's because all the villages were burned. Well, there's not. You fly over Darfur, almost all, you see thousands of villages, fully populated, farming going on and everything else. So it's because of the presence of these African Union forces.
Ranenberger also insists that U.S. diplomatic efforts are making a difference, though he and Winter acknowledge new difficulties on that front. A Darfur rebel faction involved in peace talks is split. The latest report by the International Crisis Group warns that if the rebel movements don't unite, the crisis in Darfur will go on indefinitely and civilians will continue to pay the cost. The death of John Garang has also had implications for Darfur. Garang was the charismatic leader of a rebel movement in southern Sudan, and after years of arduous peace talks, he joined a government of national unity, only to be killed in a helicopter crash. As Roger Winter explains, the U.S. had hoped that having Garang's party in a new Sudanese government would make Khartoum more willing to negotiate with rebels in Darfur.
Dr. John's vision was sort of a new Sudan for all Sudanese, and that's what the U.S. bought into. And that is, in July, what we all tingled with.
Garang's death on August 1st, he says, brought Sudan to a new low. U.S. officials are still trying to grapple with this as they work to implement a complicated North-South peace agreement and simultaneously push forward the talks on Darfur amid escalating violence and banditry. Michelle Kellerman, NPR News, Washington.